This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A letter from Special Counsel Jack Smith invites former President Trump to appear before a grand jury on Thursday. It's probing the alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. CBS's Christian Benavides.
The news of the target letter comes the same day the first pre-trial conference was held in connection to the case against Trump relating to his handling of classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate. The former president pleaded not guilty last month to 37 criminal counts, including the willful retention of national defense secrets, making false statements, and conspiracy to obstruct justice.
Excessive heat warnings prompt action in Austin, Texas to prevent heat-related illnesses. KEYE-TV's Melanie Torre.
This is, in fact, a dangerous time, and that's why we want to get these warnings out.
All Austin public libraries and rec centers also double as cooling centers. There are more than two dozen located across the city. These misting tents will be here starting on Sunday until 6 p.m. on any day there is an excessive heat warning.
For the first time in nearly 5 years, an American has been detained by North Korea. CBS's Margaret Brennan says it's a U.S. soldier facing disciplinary action on assault charges.
A week prior, King had been released from a detention facility in South Korea. He was escorted to the airport outside Seoul to fly back to Fort Bliss, Texas. But instead of boarding the plane, he got on a tour bus to the DMZ.
A development in a decades-old murder case. CBS's Monica Ricks with details.
The Las Vegas Police Department just executed a search warrant this week at a home in nearby Henderson. They won't say what they were looking for, but confirm it's part of an ongoing homicide investigation linked to Tupac. To this day, no arrests have ever been made for his death. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Australian sailor Timothy Shattuck and his dog were adrift for 3 months after a storm crippled their catamaran while they were heading to French Polynesia. A fishing boat spotted them in the Pacific Ocean, about 1,200 miles off of Mexico, and they're on dry land again.
I've been struggling to sort, you know, the health was pretty bad for a while. I was pretty hungry, and I didn't think I'd make it through the storm, but now I'm really doing good.
Human waste leaking from a tractor trailer caused 10 vehicles to crash on I-95 in Bridgeport, Connecticut last night, involving one of those involved two state police cruisers. A motorcyclist suffered minor injuries. The driver faces several charges, including reckless driving and failure to secure a load. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe alert something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee.
I know it. You're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
JMN.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. As host Robert Pilot always says, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis. And today I wanted to welcome back to the show, but this time as a guest host, and not just a guest, Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin.
Hello. How are you doing, Haley?
I'm good. Glad to be here with you. How's your Tuesday?
Yep. Fabulous. It's a lovely sunny day here in Madison, Wisconsin, and I am so happy to be sitting here in my basement with you guys all on Native Roots Radio.
Well, we're happy to have you back.
Yeah. So I hope the audience will be gentle with me. This is my first time ever hosting a radio show. So, you know, a little nervous, but excited because I always have a really good time talking with Robert and with you too, Haley, on the show. And like I said, I'm super happy to be here. I wanted to kind of jump right in and talk a little bit about our youth. Before this segment started, Haley and I were talking about the North American Indigenous Games that are happening right now in Nova Scotia in Canada, specifically Halifax. And I don't know about everybody else out there in Indian country or, you know, just regular country.
Twin Cities Metro.
Twin Cities country, Minnesota country, and shout out to my buddies in Lodi, Wisconsin that have heard me on this show too. So Lodi country. But my Facebook feed has been just completely full of posts from really, really proud parents and aunties and uncles and Chokas and Gagas about their youth participating in these games. And Haley, you'd not heard about the Indigenous Games, have you?
I have not. This is the first time I'm hearing about it, and I wish I've heard about it before.
Yeah. Well, so the Indigenous Games are an Olympic style competition for Native youth throughout North America. I looked and I believe that there's about 23 teams representing states and provinces as well as including the Haudenosaunee. So they have their team, which, you know, crosses national borders as well. And there are all kinds of youth participating in sports, like everything from canoeing and kayaking to track and field, basketball, rifle. And the reason why I've been paying extra special attention, volleyball. My daughter Ho-Chunk Wei, who is also named Arvina, is part of the 16 and under Team Wisconsin girls volleyball team, and I'm super stoked that they have been able to win their first two matches. So yay. Yay, go Wisconsin. It was super cool. They've been streaming a lot of the events, a lot of the games on YouTube. So anybody who is interested in checking out some of these incredible native athletes and our youth, you should look up on YouTube the North American Indigenous Games to see if you can watch some of these games. And it was so cool for me to be sitting at my house again in my basement, because that's where the TV that can, like, I can, what did they call it? Like Chromecast, but like where I have it on my laptop, but then I can send it to my TV.
I gotcha. Yeah. I'm blanking on what that's called.
Yeah. I'm sure the youth, if there are any youth that are listening to us right now, they'll be like, oh my God, it's called blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know. And I'm Gen Z, so I should know this term. So,
well, in any case, it was super cool to watch. And I got to hear, you know, chants in the background going, let's go, Wisco, clap, 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 clap.
Wow.
And yeah, what a cool event, like for our youth to participate in. I know that my daughter Arvina she's been practicing all year, you know, going up from Madison up to the Menominee Reservation, Kachina, to practice, you know, at least every month, sometimes more than once a month. And all these kids have been working so hard at fundraising to be able to go out to Halifax, which is not an inexpensive trip, you know? So these kids all have been raising money and practicing their hearts out to go play.
Wow. That's amazing. Are there certain age groups of kids that go out and do that?
Yeah, I believe it's maybe 13, 14 up to 19. I know that there's some of the basketball teams are 14 and under. And track and field and all of these, oh my gosh, so many different sports. I was a swimmer growing up, and we had the Indigenous Games when I was the right age to participate,
sure.
But they didn't have swimming, and now they do. And like, I can't lie. I watched so many videos or so many like Facebook lives of the opening ceremonies and all of these kids, you know, coming out just like Olympic athletes with their tribal nation flags. And, you know, they're all taking pictures in this huge arena, and I got teary, you know. I will be honest. It does not take a lot to make me teary. I get very emotional very quickly. But this was so cool, and to see all of these youths being able to walk in behind their tribal flag and, you know that this was a lot of hard work that they've put in over at least a year, not to mention their work going up to it.
Right.
You know, did you participate in sports growing up, Haley?
You know, I did. I played a wide variety of sports, especially just through elementary school, really. But as a kid, I was outside in the woods all the time. And growing up I had all male cousins who played hockey. Ooh. And I wanted to play ice hockey so bad. But being the only girl, I was forced into figure skating, which there's great things to learn in that sport as well, but it just wasn't for me. But I also right
as exactly. As your local roller derby person.
Yes, no physical contact. But no, I did track, and then I was a catcher for softball. Had a pretty nice Joe Mauer was my role model for baseball, for catcher. So
right on. Well, I can relate. So I was always terrible with any sport involving hand-eye coordination, which is why I was good at swimming and now at roller derby, because there's no ball involved. I don't have to touch anything or really aim that hard. Aiming at a person when you're standing like within a foot next to them is different than aiming, trying to, you know, throw a pitch. But, you know, I really loved doing sports. And I think part of me is really jealous that I didn't get to do that, or our age groups didn't really get to participate. But I'm so grateful that these kids now and going forward will. And maybe they need to start thinking about adding a winter sports.
Yeah, that would be
hockey.
Yeah. Huge. It could be huge.
Huge. And, you know, I think I just wanted to touch base and really shout out all of our North American Native athletes that are participating in the Indigenous Games this week. We're so proud of you. No matter where you're from, no matter where we're from, we're proud of you all. So I think we're gonna jump to a commercial quick, and then we'll be back with more Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
It's 2023 and you might think COVID is behind us. Unfortunately, it is still with us, and there are important steps you need to take if you or a loved one is at risk of contracting COVID-19. First, every home in Minnesota is eligible to order 8 rapid at-home COVID-19 tests for free once a month at sayyeshometest.org. Even if you've ordered tests before, you can order again. You can do the nasal swab test anywhere and get results in about 15 minutes. If there's a positive test, treat symptoms with rest, fluids, and pain relievers. However, if you're over 65 or have chronic medical conditions, contact your healthcare provider immediately. Follow your provider's advice on care and home isolation. Watch for worsening symptoms or emergency warning signs. Your provider might suggest using a home pulse oximeter to monitor oxygen levels. If symptoms worsen or emergency signs appear, seek medical attention immediately. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Thank you, Haley, and welcome back. Again, my name is Arvina Martin. I'm the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, which is a program that trains Democratic women on how to run for office. And I have the honor of guest hosting for my very first time this amazing radio show, Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. So, yay! I'm
glad to have you.
You made it through one segment. Yay!
We did. Look at us. Ho-Chunk sisters.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we were kind of talking before the show about things that we could talk about today, after we talked about the Indigenous Games, we're completely switching topics right now, and talking about something that I had not heard about here in Wisconsin, about the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe that are going to be opening Minnesota's first recreational marijuana dispensary, and that's going to be opening on August 1st of this year.
Yes. So this is something that, I mean, if you're a Minnesota resident, you would know that we did pass legal marijuana bill, I guess we should call it. But So that's going to be going into effect August 1st, but a lot of the dispensaries in the rest of the state aren't expected to open until early 2025. Hmm. And so I guess this is just a great article that NPR News did last week. This was written by Melissa Olson, but she said Red Lake Nation is preparing to sell recreational marijuana at its dispensary on August 1st, the same day Minnesota legalizes cannabis use. And the state law envisions compacts between the state and 11 tribal governments around medical cannabis and adult use recreational cannabis. The legalization makes clear that the tribal governments are sovereign and can only operate regardless of whether the state and tribes enter into an agreement. And can you just like remind our listeners maybe about what it means to be a sovereign nation inside of the United States?
Yes, yes. So sovereignty is a huge issue and one that tribes, and if you're Native, you know, if you are one of our non-Native listeners, excuse me, sovereignty is a concept that predates contact. Sovereignty is not something that has been given to tribes by the U.S. government or any of the the previous governments of European folks that have come to North America. Sovereignty, like, is a collective expression of individual sovereignty, and that individuals are basically granting a certain authority, in this case their tribe, the authority to govern them, and that they agree to abide by their rules. And again, this is a concept that is completely independent of anything like recognition by the federal government or treaties, but these are things that sovereignty is also I guess I would say acknowledged through treaties, but the lack of treaty does not mean the lack of sovereignty. So that's kind of a general explanation. And let's just say that people write PhD theses, AKA the plural of thesis.
Yes.
And so to put a definition into like 30 seconds is kind of difficult, but
true.
You know,
yeah. Well, I think you hit
we
it.
We do what we can.
Right. Yeah. I think you got it down pretty good. Yeah. But Red Lake Nation members had pushed for the sale of recreational marijuana years ago when the ban legalized medicinal cannabis. Tribal Secretary Sam Strong said in an interview with NPR News last week that it's an opportunity to regulate business at a time when fentanyl is being more found often in cannabis products. Fentanyl, this is quoted here by Tribal Secretary Sam Strong, fentanyl has been taking a deadly toll in our communities, and we want to make sure that we're protecting those that choose to participate. And Strong said that the move also creates an investment opportunity for the tribe to provide tested product to individuals that want to purchase it. Red Lakes Dispensary Native Care has been providing medical marijuana to band members and non-members since April of this year. And the dispensary will expand to sell recreational marijuana as well. So Red Lake is located in the northern Minnesota, pretty much. Strong says the dispensary is accessible for individuals that choose to come to the reservation. The tribal secretary emphasized that non-Red Lakers will be protected by Red Lake tribal laws while on their lands and protected by state laws upon leaving the reservation. He says that he hopes people will check out the dispensary's website, and when visiting, they are as respectful as possible to our people and our laws, and try to appreciate who we are as people. So, and that that was coming off of NPR News, but that has me thinking how many like foot traffic and how busy that's going to be on the reservation up there in Red Lake, and how they are going to just control the security, you know, because we have families and relatives and little kids living still in that community where, you know, it's going to bring a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and I think about, you know, I live, like I said, I live in Wisconsin, where I just saw Robert's note. Great energy. Who needs Robert?
Right.
We miss you.
We miss you. We hope you're having a great vacation, Robert.
Yes. Yes. But in Wisconsin, where we don't have even legal medical marijuana, you know, if and now with Minnesota, we're getting closer to being surrounded by states that do have legalized recreational marijuana. And, you know, I think that this is a great opportunity for the Red Lake Nation to be able to put into place their own security rules and again, exercise their own sovereignty and how, you know, they dispense and how much they dispense per person. You know, we know that other states, you know, only allow people to purchase enough for personal use so that they don't resell. This is a great opportunity for a tribal nation to show that they're capable of handling this kind of, you know, traffic, you know, in the sense of like more people coming to the reservation, and being able to enforce their own rules and laws. And I think that's pretty outstanding.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I think too, just so that they were selling medicinal marijuana is what I'm reading up on. But I mean, what a great, I don't know. I mean,
it's a great economic and opportunity. So I know Robert's mentioned it previously, but I used to be on city council here in Madison, Wisconsin. And you know, if you're driving from Chicago up to Wisconsin, you pass a dispensary right on the Illinois Wisconsin border. And if you go and look at that parking lot, it's 3/4 Wisconsin parking license plates. And as a city council person, part of me couldn't like not help but think about the tax revenue that the state is losing out on, and the revenue that this can bring to a tribe, and a tribe in a rural area, I think is a really great opportunity. And, you know, this has the potential to do a lot of great things and provide a lot of really needed services to folks in the Red Lake service area.
Right. And I think too, like, I think it's great that it's Indigenous people and Native people that are going to be the first to sell, because I think it should be, really.
Absolutely. And that they've already been selling medicinal marijuana. I mean, I know that I have, when I was pregnant, I had hyperemesis gravidarum, which meant I had terrible morning sickness the entire time I was pregnant. Oof. And had, yeah, it was rough. I did not make it back up to my pre-pregnancy weight until like a week or two before my daughter was born. So, oh, wow. You know, I couldn't hold things down, and having access to medical marijuana would probably have helped me a great deal. Without having to have prescriptions for, you know, very strong medications that may have been overkill for what I needed.
Right. Or could have made it worse in multiple ways. You never know.
Exactly. Exactly. So good on Red Lake. I'm super excited to see how this economic opportunity for development proceeds, and I'm really excited. So I think we're going to take another commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be back with a guest, John Smallwood from Wisconsin Progress, because I know Wisconsin. We're going to talk about Wisconsin for a bit.
All right, we'll be back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump receives a target letter and is called to appear before a special grand jury investigating alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says President Biden is using the government to go after Trump.
The American public is tired of this. They want to see equal justice, and the idea that they utilize this to go after those who politically disagree with them is wrong.
Austin, Texas officials take action as excessive heat warnings are issued. KEYE-TV's Melanie Torre.
The city of Austin launched these misting tents at Republic Square Park in downtown. They're a cool place for anyone to take a break from the heat, whether you're walking to a meeting or currently living on the street.
An American soldier crosses the border between South Korea into North Korea. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We believe the soldier is currently in DPRK custody and are working with our North Korean counterparts to resolve this incident.
The soldier was facing military discipline on assault charges. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
More at CruitersLoungeMN.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Thank you, Haley, and welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Arvina Martin. I'm your guest host today. You may recognize me from other appearances on this show, Talking with Robert. And I am really excited to talk with and invite my friend John Smallwood to join us for the next half hour. John is the executive director of WisconsinProgress.org. And John, why don't you introduce yourself quick and tell us a little bit about what kind of work Wisconsin Progress does.
Hi, thanks for having me. Such an honor, and I appreciate that. So Wisconsin Progress is an organization that recruits, trains, and develops local elected officials for higher office. That's the short version of what we do.
Excellent. And some of our listeners may be familiar because I've talked on the show about what we do at Emerge Wisconsin, where I'm the executive director. And I know that I've mentioned Wisconsin Progress as one of our partner organizations. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the work that we do differs? Like, what do you guys do at Wisconsin Progress that's different than what we do at Emerge Wisconsin?
Sure. So Emerge does a cohort every year and does deep dives into all kinds of personal development, professional development. Wisconsin Progress keys in on getting you the tools that you need to be elected and then helping you once you're elected to be good at government. And we do all the genders for sure. So all you need to do is care about human beings and treat them well. And you are welcome to come to Wisconsin Progress for any of our trainings. We do an endorsement process after the trainings that will require you to be a advocate for racial equity. You have to be work towards things that make working families better, stronger, and faster. You have to be an advocate of women having the ability to have their own ideas on reproductive rights, and you have to care about our planet. So, and then what we'll do is help you get elected at that point, and then the idea is to develop folks from all walks of life, because we believe that if you look at your county board or your city council or your school board or your town council or your assembly, and you don't see people that look and act and have your background, it's a requirement that you run yourself or find someone like you to run for that, because the elected offices, the elected bodies, are supposed to be representative of the people. And you don't require a college degree. In fact, if no one on your county board has been homeless and you have, it's a requirement that that voice be heard.
Yes.
And all the other experiences that make us who we are, because you're not the only one with that one experience, right? So
absolutely. I really like hearing that. I think that when people talk about experience, especially when it comes to experience and being ready to serve in local or state government, that they think, oh, college degree, I need to have graduated like summa cum laude, whatever that means. I certainly did not graduate that with that kind of distinction. But there are experiences that people don't consider to be necessary. And I, John, I think that what you bring up, especially, has there never been anybody that's been homeless, you know, that served on your city council or county board? I think those things are super important. That should have been a question, but my bad. This is my first time hosting, so.
All your experiences make you who you are. And there is this misconception that if you don't check certain boxes, that you're not eligible. If you have those county boards deal with folks who are incarcerated. If you've been incarcerated before and you're eligible to vote, then you're eligible to be on that board. And those voices are essential in providing those services from the county.
Likewise, I mean, I don't think that I've ever heard anybody talk about, oh, hey, one of my qualifications for running for school board or why I'd be a great school board member is because I dropped out my junior year of high school.
We absolutely need to know why you dropped out and what would that school district need to have done to keep you there so that you could graduate from high school.
Absolutely. I think
or even if you didn't people need services that don't have a high school diploma, you know what it's like. That voice needs to be heard on your county board and your city council.
And sadly, sometimes if those experiences aren't represented on whatever legislative body that you're talking about, they don't get heard. Because a lot of people that have experienced those things are too busy to testify at committee hearings or school board meetings and the like. So I yes, John, thank you so much for bringing up the importance of those kinds of experiences and as to why those are important to the bodies that serve us generally, you know, at every level. It's so important. Yeah.
Your background is just as important as anyone else's. We need people in the medical field. There are so many things that even school boards deal with. So there needs to be somebody with a medical background on those. And this in Wisconsin, generally the county boards are pretty big, 37 people, 39 people. There's plenty of room for lots of voices. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, oh crap. I had something I was going to say and I just lost it. So the work that you guys do, Wisconsin Progress, you guys work not only with people to learn how to be candidates, but then following up and working with people that have just been elected. And so you can help them learn how to be elected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. So generally following spring elections, we do a governing effectively where you learn the tools that you need to be successful in your first month as an elected official. Most bodies use Robert's Rules of Order, and most of the bodies don't say they're supposed to follow them, and they don't. So if you know Robert's Rules of Order, then you know how to navigate that situation to get the things that you want passed on that board.
That's knowing the rules is such a of the body is such a huge part. You're absolutely right. If you know how the rules that that body abides by, you can make them work. I will laugh and say that I remember being at a Unity conference one time, which is for non-Native folks is an organization that is serves, it's a United Native tribal youth. And I remember a particular time being at the conference and all of the Ho-Chunk kids, because we have general counsel, knew Robert's rules of order. And so all of these 14-year-olds were like, no, this is not the time. No, this isn't a debatable motion. And hearing like middle schoolers yelling, this isn't a debatable motion. Oh my God. Made my nerd heart sing.
Yeah, that's huge. And like you said too, like representation matters 100%. Like, I don't know, just here in the Minnesota government, you know, we have Mary Kunish represents and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and Jamie Becker Finn and Heather Keeler. And it wasn't until I really started showing up in these spaces and getting to know these elected officials where I was like, oh, maybe politics is in the card for me, or it could be, you know. It wasn't something I started thinking about until I met great people who looked like me and represented me. And yeah.
So we are going to be talking a little bit more about natives in politics in Wisconsin. I was grateful that's a segue that you just put in, Haley. And we're going to jump to a commercial quick, and then we will be back with more Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Yeah!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Love that one.
The last time it happened, I missed it. I didn't know it was happening.
That was a good howl today. Thank you for that.
I tried. So welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I am your guest host, Arvina Martin. Did I just almost mess up my last name? Oh, Lord.
You're sounding like Robert now.
Oh, no. My brain moves faster than my mouth can sometimes. But I'm really happy to be here with my friend and partner in crime when it comes to doing working on Native and basically any kind of progressive politics in Wisconsin, John Smallwood, the executive director of WisconsinProgress.org. Hi, John. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of mention from the end of the last segment when Haley mentioned the names of Native people elected to Minnesota state government. And I'm not going to lie, it made me really, really jealous because we don't have any in Wisconsin. And that is something that we are working on. I'm working on at Emerge Wisconsin, and that I'm working on with John at Wisconsin Progress. And we did an event, well, not an event, we presented at the Wisconsin Indian Education Association conference last spring, trying to recruit Native people to run for school boards in particular. John, can you tell me, like, what was that experience like? I'm presuming this is the first time you've presented before the Wisconsin Indian Education Association
conference. It was. Thank you for inviting me to that.
Absolutely. So
what we did together was one of the trainings that both of our organizations do a lot. It's about an hour, and we call it getting ready to run. And it gives you all the tools you need to make the decision of whether you want to run or not. So it tells you what's expected of you in local office and what it takes to win an election, and then what those first steps are in running. And we do at Wisconsin Progress, we do that all the time. You can request that training at wisconsinprogress.org on the training page. There's a link there to request that training. We can do that virtually, or if you can get 10 of your friends together, we'll come do it in person wherever you are in Wisconsin. It was great to be there at the Wisconsin Indian Education Association meeting and one of those things is what we've already been over is you are qualified. No matter what your background is, you are qualified. And that's one of the things that keeps a lot of folks from running. And there are a lot fewer Native elected folks in Wisconsin than the percentage of population. And I'm looking to get more than the percentage of population. So let's get that representation on all levels of government, and where it starts is usually the local level. So
and I find that for folks that are kind of new to politics, like talking about school board, like that is an easier way to see yourself participating. Like, people know what school boards do. Sometimes it can be a little bit more nebulous as to what city council does versus what county board does versus what the state legislature does. But people still have a kind of solid view or at least an understanding of what school boards do. So, I mean, what do you think about that as like an entry point into political life generally?
So everybody wants kids to not be dumb, right? So we have to educate them. We do not want a bunch of dumb kids running around becoming dumb adults. We want our we want everybody to have a good education so that they can have a better life. So school board makes a lot of decisions on those things. And to have that diverse pool to choose from on that school board covers everybody in that district. And you can generally get support for schools because we all collectively want an educated, we want people to be educated and so that we can live better lives. So
yes,
it's a great place to start.
Absolutely. And so that was kind of your first introduction as the executive director of Wisconsin Progress to Indian country and organizing in Indian country. We have talked with several of our partners about how we continue to engage Native people. What are your kind of hopes for engaging Native communities in public policy and a political life in Wisconsin?
So the biggest thing that we need to do is ask people to run. So I have no desire to become an elected official, but I sure do want people to be elected officials. And studies show that if you're not an older white straight male, it takes multiple people to ask. So everybody listening, you don't have to be the one to run, but do get involved in choosing who's on your school board. Go talk to folks. You know people that would be great on the school board. And school board is a big responsibility. Those budgets are pretty big. Those school districts are large sometimes. So again, teaching folks to be able to navigate those budgets can help in higher office as well. And again, having Native folks on every board is essential. It has to, we need that voice. So, and again, so ask people to run for office.
So to anybody listening, I'm going to be the first person to ask you. I'm asking you to run for office. John, do you want to ask somebody to run for office? Yeah?
I'll ask someone. Yes. I'll ask a listener. I am asking you, please run for office.
And John, you too now. We get three asks.
I want you to run for office.
Three
get
asks.
At me, wisconsinprogress.org.
Yes, and yes, John, give us your website and an email where you can be reached for anybody that's interested.
Wisconsinprogress.org.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
93.5 The Tap.